Well, on this morning, we come to the moment where in the journey we're on with Jesus through the Gospel of Luke, we come to that place where he's a grown man now. 30 years have passed since the day that we celebrated on Christmas. And he comes to this moment where something very significant and important takes place. He comes and he like others, are hearing his cousin preach, and he is telling them in his preaching that this is a baptism for the forgiveness of sin. That it's a moment to come to the Lord and to put aside our sin and to make this symbolic, this sign that says, I am committing myself to God. Now, Jesus is in line there. He's waiting his turn. And why would that be? I mean, why does Jesus need forgiveness? Isn't he God? Isn't he the Son of God? Yes. Some of you may remember that in Matthew's gospel, in that account of him coming before John, his cousin, to be baptized, he steps down into the water alongside John, and John says, wait a minute. I'm the one that needs to be baptized by you. Why do you come to me? John recognized that Jesus didn't need to be baptized. He was sinless. That he himself, though he were a prophet, was sinful. He recognized that it was he who was under Jesus' authority, not the other way around. And Jesus responded, John, let it be so now. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. That is, to do all that God has in mind for me. You see, Jesus is stepping down into the Jordan River was his stepping up. In Hebrews 2:14, we read that since the children have flesh and blood, he, that is Jesus, too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. I just want to emphasize that one phrase, shared in their humanity. And again in Philippians 2, Paul put it this way, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You see, Jesus stepping down into the Jordan like everyone else was his first step toward fulfilling his mission on earth as an adult. In submitting to being baptized, he was saying something. He was saying, I'm one of you. I identify with you. And though not sinful, he would indeed then live out his life fulfilling all righteousness. He would face the same difficulties you and I face. He'd face the same challenges. He would brave the cold. He would stand up to the heat, sometimes seek shade, all those kinds of things. I'm sure that there was a moment or two that when he was working with stone or wood, he probably hit his thumb. But he didn't sin. No, his baptism marks that he was stepping up to begin his ministry. And he knew where that ministry was going. As Paul put it, even death on a cross. Jesus was stepping up. Brother, Jesus was stepping in as he was, and he stepped up to do all that God was calling him to do. He identified with us. And did you know that he calls you and I to identify with him? What does it mean when you and I submit to baptism, to Christian baptism? Well, it means a great deal, and we could spend a few weeks talking about that. But essentially, it means that we die to ourselves. That's what it means to go into the water. And then be raised to a new life. You see, we too are called to step in, to step up. And we step up to the call of discipleship under Jesus. But do we see it that way? Do we hear that call? Is that how we see our faith? Is that how we see Christianity today? I think sometimes we have a hard time shaking our cultural mindset. In truth, the way some people see Jesus is heretical. But the truth of the matter is, you see, how we live is shaped by how we see God, how we see Jesus. Do we see him as the risen and ascended King, not only Savior, not only healer, but King? You see, he's more than a genie who we pull out of the bottle from time to time to take care of a problem. Do we see him as the risen and ascended King? He exists. Do we see him only in a way that he exists to serve us, to do our bidding? I think about your prayers for a moment. What shape do they take? And then when he grants that request, we, in our, just the way we act, the way we live out our days, do we just kind of like put him back in the bottle until we need him next time? I think many, and especially in Western Christianity, want a deity that's manageable and one that is non-offensive. A kind of Jesus that I can accept, that fits my way of thinking. And sometimes we're guilty of acting as though it's about adding Jesus to our life instead of the other way around, giving our life to Jesus. You see, that is a kind that's kind of stepping in, but it's not really stepping up. True Christianity sees Jesus as God, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He is divine and human both, yes, but he has the authority of the divine. He calls you and me to follow. He calls you and me to join him in his life, devoting ourselves to him. Christianity is walking with Jesus, following him. Jonathan Edwards said, "True Christians see him worthy to be followed, are so powerfully drawn after him, they see him worthy to forsake all for him, and are disposed to be subject to him." When Jesus says, "In following me, this is a part of that," how do you respond? When he calls you to seek the forgiveness of another, are you obedient? When he calls you to be one of his witnesses in this world, to share a word of hope and grace, of truth with somebody? Do you do it? Jesus stepped into a journey which meant that in his stepping up, his rising to the occasion, that he would die on a cross, and he calls us, calls you and me, to be ready to carry a cross. You see, that's who it is that we remember at this table today. One who was obedient even to death. Death on a cross. And that's the one with whom we will make covenant with today. That's the one we will renew a covenant. And I pray that as we go through our service of communion and the covenant service, it's not just going through the motions, not just reciting words. I'm hoping that we're engaged, that our minds and hearts are engaged, so that what we say, what we sense in our hearts and lives in that moment, we are relating with and to God. You see, for us as a body of believers, a body of Christians, to thrive and be who we're called to be, we're called to step up and live into the covenant that we have with Christ and the one that we remember today through communion. And so, dear brothers and sisters, the Christian life is a life that is found in Christ, redeemed from sin, consecrated to God. We are those who have entered into this life and been admitted into the new covenant of Jesus Christ. He is the mediator of this covenant. He sealed it with his own blood so that it would last forever. And on one side of the covenant stands God, who promises to give us new life in Jesus Christ, the author, and he's the perfecter of our faith. And every day God proves his goodness and grace to us, showing us that his promise stands firm. On the other side of that covenant, we stand. And we stand as those who promise to no longer live life for ourselves, but instead to only live for Jesus Christ, because he has loved us and he's given his life for us. There are times in our lives when it's important for us to remember and reaffirm our promises and vows. And in the same way, we come today to renew our covenant with God. Many generations have done this before us. And today we make the covenant of our own, renewing both with joy and sincerity the covenant that binds us all to God. So I want us to recognize our need for confession. We are those who seek to live as true disciples of Jesus Christ. But sometimes we do fall short, don't we? Let us now examine ourselves, our hearts, our minds, our actions, our attitudes, our affections. Examine them all. Examine all of our being before God and humbly confess our sin and submitting our hearts so that we do not deceive ourselves. But move away, rather, from God. Let us pray. Father God, you have set forth the way of life through your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you love dearly. We shamefully confess that we've been slow to learn of him, not listen. Follow him. You have spoken and called to us, but we've not listened. You have revealed your beauty to us, but we have been blind. You have stretched your hands to us through our friends, but we've passed by them. We have accepted your gifts and offered little thanks. We are unworthy of your unchanging love. In this moment, I will guide us through a few moments of guided prayer. I'll share a statement, and I'll pause and give you opportunity to pray in that theme. Let us now pray as we now confess to you, O God, our sin. Lord, please forgive us for the poverty of our worship. Forgive us, Lord, for the selfishness of our prayers. Jesus, we confess our inconsistency and unbelief. Loving Father, we pray that you will forgive us for the ways we neglect fellowship and your grace. Forgive us for our hesitation to tell others about Christ. Lord, forgive us for the ways we deceive others. And for how we forgive ourselves, deceive ourselves. Will you please join me in prayer? Forgive us for wasting time and misusing gifts you've given us. Forgive us for making excuses for wrong things that we have done, and for purposely avoiding responsibility. Forgive us for being unwilling to overcome evil with good, and for not being ready to carry our cross. Forgive us for we have not allowed your love to work through us to help others, and we've not made their suffering our own. Forgive us for those times when instead of working for unity, we made it hard for others to live with us because of our lack of forgiveness, inconsiderate judgment, and quick criticism. Forgive us for times when we've not tried to reconcile with others and when we've been slow to seek redemption. Forgive us also for these sins that we silently confess to you now. Hear the good news. God, the Father of all mercies, is faithful to cleanse us from our sins and restore us to Christ's image. Praise and glory be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ, we offer you this prayer. Let us be gathered here before the Lord now in covenant, commit ourselves to Christ as his servants. Let us gather here before the Lord now in covenant, commit ourselves to Christ as his servants. Let us give ourselves to him so that we may be fully belonging to him. Jesus has left us with many services to be done. And some of these services are easy and honorable, but some are difficult and disgraceful. Some line up with our desires and our interest. Others are contrary to both. In some we please both Christ and ourselves, but in others we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. And so now in this moment, Jesus, we offer you this covenantal prayer. I invite you to stand with me as we pray this prayer. I am not my own. I am yours alone. Make me into what you will. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to use for you. Put me to suffering for you. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be brought low for you. Let me be brought low. Let me be empty. Let me have all things, or let me have nothing. With a will, freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and your disposal. Amen. Please be seated. Christ is Savior to those who are His true servants. He is a source of all salvation to those who obey. To be His servant is to consent fully to His will. Christ accepts nothing less. Christ, as Paul said, is preeminent, and Christ will be all in all, or He will be nothing. Now confirm this truth in Holy Covenant. Make it a reality in your life in these ways. First, set apart time in your day, more than once, to be spent alone with the Lord. Seek to perceive God's special care for you and gracious acceptance of you. Carefully think through the words of this covenant and its conditions. Take them with you. Examine your heart, even if you have freely given your life to Christ. Name the sins in your life. Reflect on whether you're willing to choose Christ's holy laws and strict commandments and ways. Be sure that you are clear in all these so that you do not lie to God. Second, uphold a serious spirit of holy awe and reverence. Third, claim God's covenant. Do not trust in your own strength. In this way, He will empower you to keep your promise. Be determined to be faithful. You've given your heart and life to God. You have opened your mouth to dedicate yourself to the Lord, and with God's power, never go back to your former way of living. And last, be prepared to renew your covenant with God. Fall on your knees, lift up your hands, open your hearts regularly.